And we are ready to move directly, just a couple minutes behind schedule. We're pretty good here. Go on to our next item, number five, the MGO report and implementation plan. And so we'll welcome Bill Herber and Ms. Perez, who will be presenting here. And both are actually here with us in the room, correct? Yeah, there we go. It's all yours.
All right, thank you, and good morning, Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, members of the board. For the record, my name is Bill Herber, Deputy Director for Administration. And with me today here is Senior Sabrina Perez, Senior Strategy Manager for the Administrative Branch. So we are here today to present our department's implementation management plan in response to the recently released final report of MGO. As you'll hear, this agenda item in front of us is the culmination of so far 1.5 years of effort. And we are looking forward to working with you in the next steps of this very important effort. So just a brief outline of what we'll be approaching today. Nancy will be kicking us, Acting State Forester Hirsch will be kicking us off with a few comments to give us a little context, and then we'll touch a bit on background and timeline and a high-level summary of the recommendations. We will be keeping this presentation brief so we can get into some good discussions with the board. We'll have an overview of the implementation plan and what that means and how it'll be used within the department and externally. And then finally, like I said, we want to create some space for a board discussion and ultimately get to the recommendations, since this is a decision item in front of us. With that, I will hand it over to Acting State Forester Hirsch for her comments and context.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Sabrina. Chair Kelly, members of the board, Nancy Hirsch, Acting State Forester. And I think you probably have a typical routine of going right to staff. I did ask Bill if I could provide some comments on the front end here today, given the significance of this report. Really, I have two pieces I want to touch on. The first one here, I hope this slide is pretty clear about what I feel is my role as the Acting State Forester, and that is to provide responsibility, accountability, and oversight of the full implementation of the plan. That's with me. It's on me. I don't do it alone. I will be, the agency will be adding a new direct report, somewhat of a project type manager position with some hopeful other, financial expertise to help with this oversight to assure that the train arrives on time with all the scheduled, deliverables. As I said, I don't do this alone. I absolutely need the full alignment and support and leadership from the excellent executive team we have. Same with the agency's leadership team, and ultimately to every employee in order for this to be successful. I'm confident in the alignment on this priority. This brings me to my second point, which is I felt somewhat important, as I know a couple board members are newer. And I think that looking back at some key points in history over the period of 2013 forward, provide some opportunities to reflect and also strengthen our look at what are really all the lessons learned along the way here. So why are we here in the first place talking about basic financial accountability and responsibility? The bottom line is we have made mistakes. We have learned lessons. We have made improvements, and we need and will make more. We're committed to demonstrating financial accountability, responsibility, and regaining the trust. So for background, I like pretty simple pictures to help me understand things. You can see on this slide, is really about large fire costs, comparisons prior to 2013 compared to post-2013. It ranges here in costs, going from $10 million prior to 2013 to $70 million on average since then, with obviously higher peaks on any given 1 year. So on the slide, the dark green is the average large fire cost. I want to point out that the light green is the actual cash dedicated to large fire funding that's immediately available in the drawer to draw on. That's a bottom line sevenfold increase in average costs, moving from 10 to 70. These costs are a direct result of the increase in fire already touched on. I don't say this as an excuse for not being financially responsible, and I'll dive into that just briefly. These points or points I offer are based on my own personal experience of being around and with this agency for 33 years, observations being a part of it, and a lot of reflections over the last few years. But I believe some of these points that I offer you today also were key contributors to the need for the governor's oversight team, MGO review audit, and the need for immediate response. So the first point I want to mention was probably not something you haven't heard before, but the 2013 Wildfire Protection Act. That bill was passed in the waning days of June 2013, and it was a significant substantial change in policy. It was on July 26th that the agency experienced a siege of lightning events that I can't remember now after all these back-to-backs, but I believe it was 150 fires started in Southwest Oregon. We ended up with, you know, close to 100,000 acres immediately on the landscape. Really, the point that I offer here for us and encourage the board to think about as you make policy decisions going forward, as well as for the agency, is the policy decisions often get made without having the full implementation plan in play and ready to execute in order to really affect all of the changes in the business practices that are necessary. So just a caution, or maybe perhaps questions to offer that you would offer us when we're talking about policy and making changes. Secondly, cumulative costs, 2013, 14, 15, 16, and 18. I want to offer another policy change that occurred in there that had an impact on the agency relative to immediate cash in the drawer. The insurance policy for the state of Oregon used to have, during the 2013 and 14 fire seasons, a $20 million deductible. In 2015, that deductible changed to $50 million, a significant policy change and direct impact to how quickly we would have cash in hand, because the insurance underwriters actually were very timely in paying on the cash based on the cost estimates that we had in the audits we performed together. 2018, another signature year. Key there is when you hear ODF and learn reports about this fire season, when you hear that ODF is the paying agent in these multi-jurisdictional fires, that means we're paying for all the bills up front. So just keep an eye on that as well. Our agency business process is tracking and reporting of agency cash, accounts receivable, accounts payable, did not adapt to keep up with the financial responsibilities and accountability during this time, and yes, it was still our responsibility to adapt and deliver. We own this. Proactive, ongoing communication and assuring there's no surprises about what we know or don't know was also a critical failure. 2019 was the almost default on the Treasury's loan. You all know that. This got everyone's attention, and that's when the governor's office convened the Forestry Financial Oversight Team to support the department in the financial management. Since then, the MGO, a CPA advisory firm was hired by DAS to perform the review and assessment and to evaluate options for financial structure for managing seasonal borrowing to affect or pay for the cost relative to the large fire. What you have in the report in front of you today addresses primarily the recommendations to mitigate, fix the problems associated with the department's financial issues. I don't believe that it fully or it does not include specific recommendations for the unfunded large fire costs that may be obligated beyond the $10 million we have in the drawer through our partnership, your advisory committee, the Emergency Fire Cost Committee with the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. We know we need to right the ship on the agency's cash flow, accounts payable, accounts receivable to demonstrate responsibility and accountability that will grant, that I believe we will regain the trust with the governor's office, legislature, treasury's office, so that a solution for the funding for large fires is available as needed. Thank you for giving me that time, Bill, Sabrina, board, and obviously turn it over to Bill and Sabrina for the rest of the report.
Thank you, Nancy. Great context that sets us up well as we work through the rest of this presentation. So as State Forester Hirsch really framed up on how we got here, she mentioned in October 2019, the governor quickly responded to the current or to the situation at that time by establishing the Forestry Financial Oversight Team. This was a team that consisted of members from a majority of our funding stakeholders, and specifically the governor's office, treasury, DAS, CFO, legislative fiscal office, board of forestry, and forestry staff. The team had two primary tasks, one of which was to work with an independent contractor to address the backlog of fire-related receivables and provide recommendations on structural changes to expedite and standardize the processing of financial transactions associated with wildfire costs. And that's a mouthful that they had in front of them. And you'll hear how that shifted a little bit. With that, in December of 2019, the firm of Macias, Ginny, and O'Connell, and we're probably butchering that name, but I don't know if anybody's ever clarified what it is, but we refer to them as MGO, was hired by the Department of Administrative Services and begun a review and assessment of forestry's fire finance operations with on-site visits during the spring of 2020 and preliminary findings in the summer of 20 and refinements of those recommendations occurring in late 2020. After those refined recommendations at the 2020, the department really had an opportunity to provide management responses to those recommendations. In working with staff and leadership throughout their organization, we were able to clarify some of the work they outlined. So in response to those management responses, MGO published its final report in April 2021, and you have that final report in your packet. So once MGO came on board, it was apparent by all that one aspect of their statement of work was no longer needed, and that was addressing the backlog of outstanding fire costs. Prior to MGO coming on board, the department had already identified much of what MGO had seen and started addressing it. Department staff had made at that time monumental progress in addressing that existing backlog of work. And so from then on, MGO's efforts were best served in establishing best practices for large fire cost processing. With that shift, MGO focused on the following areas. Really a stem-to-stern evaluation of our accounts receivable, accounts payable operations. They evaluated claims processing regarding our FEMA collection process. Reviewed the codification of our processes through our existing policies and procedures, and ultimately made recommendations for improvements in all of these areas and to produce a final report. Through their work with the department, as Nancy mentioned earlier, MGO produced 28 recommendations that coalesced around five areas of concerns. First being policies and procedures, whether our controls were in place needed for our processings to really have a durable and robust solution. Information technology, they looked at identifying how we utilize or maybe did not utilize information technology and our infrastructure in place. Then there was an oversight. This is the accountability mechanisms that we may or might not have had in place. They spent a significant amount of time looking into that area. In budgeting, they not only looked at our finances, but saw if our budgeting practices were in support of those financial operations. And then finally, they looked at financing and accounting resources and whether our capacity and our capabilities to do this work was properly put in the organizational structure of the department. And within these categories, categories, each recommendation was assigned a level of risk from high, medium, and low. And you can see this on the chart there. So the particular areas of concern identified by risk. The definition of risk really factored in a multitude of areas, such as were controls effective for that particular bucket? Were there compliance issues that needed addressed and how quickly things needed to be addressed? Or if there was value in immediately correcting something versus not having that urgency behind it. And that's really what resulted in high, medium, or low. So as you look through these, it's some recommendations, you know, risk has kind of a different context than you might think if you immediately look at a high risk recommendation or potentially a low risk recommendation. There was a lot of play in the context of what risk meant. So you can see our largest area of concern was around policies and procedures, or more specifically, management control of various processes within the large fire workflows and accounts receivables and payables. A lot of this manifested in outdated policies, outdated procedures, non-existing policies and procedures, things of that nature. Next, our largest area of concern that MGO identified was information technology, and this was focused a lot on disparate systems, but more specifically lacking oversight or governance around those systems. So what was in play and was it being effectively utilized, and where we could make some advancements in the utilization of IT throughout the department. The last major bucket, with no surprise, was given MGO's background, was oversight and the lack of ability to maintain accountability in various processes. And of course, this also rolls up into all the reporting and notification and things Nancy spoke about in her comments. So for the sake of time, we won't be walking you through each of these recommendations, but they are thoroughly documented in both the MGO final report you have and also in the department's implementation management plan. Where we'll be focusing some time is discussing what the implementation plan is, how it'll be utilized in this work. And both of these reports, the MGO final report, like I said, is in your packet as well as the implementation plan. But I do want to hand it over to Sabrina to give you an overview of the format of the implementation management plan, and then we can have a broader discussion about everything in context. So, Sabrina.
All right. Good morning, Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, members of the board. My name is Sabrina Perez. I'm the Senior Strategy Manager for the Administrative Branch. So today, I'm going to walk you through a little bit of our implementation management plan and how we developed that with staff. We're sharing the first iteration of our plan as an intent to ensure transparency and accountability in the work that we're doing. Implementation of MGO's recommendations will require a clear path, specific deliverables, and accountability mechanisms. The objective of the plan is to provide our employees involved with a clear view of what's expected and how to get there. The plan also provides all of the details and tracking mechanisms that we'll need to provide all of you, the board, governor's office, treasury, the emergency fire cost committee, legislature, and others, clear, consistent reports on our progress on a regular basis to ensure that transparency and accountability throughout our implementation of these recommendations. Bringing it back to the timeline, Bill just spoke to the publishing of the final report from MGO in April. And before us now, in those recommendations, we do have four coming up due at the end of June. We have one that we'll be working through with you all at the board's annual work planning retreat. We have another four in December. We have 15 coming due at the end of next fiscal year, and another four with greater scope due at the end of the following fiscal year. So I do want to recognize that you just received this plan. A lot of work went into developing detailed recommendation deliverables for each one of these recommendations. But I am going to take a brief dive into how to digest these details to help you all as you work through this. So up at the top, illuminated here, you have the header section of each recommendation and each page in that plan. Those header details are directly from MGO's report that was published in April. Further, you get to zeroing in on the MGO action plan and called out MGO in red font there. That was not included in MGO's published report, but it has been spoken about in forums, and it is the recommended action plan that they would suggest to help us carry out and meet the spirit of the recommendation and mitigate risk. So we've taken that action plan, given considerate thought to it, and gone a bit further to understand how can we fully implement that action plan within the agency and truly make it a holistic implementation that fits all of our agency business lines. So in this example, we've moved beyond calling out the red fonted action items to really get into calling out other things we need to do in regards to IT systems or further communication planning or training needs or follow-up maintenance that we could need afterwards. In this particular example that we're showing here, we do have a Sage accounts receivable IT solution coming online after this recommendation is due. And so the recommendation was truly meant to codify our business practices and ensure that we had solid business processes and procedures down. However, once we implement the IT system, we're going to need to go back and adjust those processes to ensure integration of the new IT system. And with that, that was the deep dive into the details of the plan. And we've reserved this time for you all to get into discussion. What we're looking to hear is to ensure that we're meeting your reporting needs. We also want to know, you know, how best to guide our work. And we're really looking forward to working with you on the implementation of this and honoring the work that employees put in as they progress through these deliverables. So with that, we'll turn it over to you. And when you're ready, we can look at the recommendation, but this is really your time.
Thank you. There's just so many different directions we can go in terms of this conversation, but I would like to just start it off by looking at the very big picture here and thinking about the slide that State Forester Hirsch showed us with immediately available funds each year versus the change in large fire costs. At the end of the day, that is the elephant in the room and the structural change that has to happen. The problem that we've had, the way I visualize it, is that with the problems that we've had with our own finances, not understanding our accounts payable or receivable, not really being a credible partner to work with the governor's office and with the legislature because of the deficiencies in all these systems, we're really in a place where the MGO role is to bring us to the point where we can credibly say, this is our financial position. And once we are able to credibly say that and be on the road to fixing a lot of these things, then we can have those, we can be that credible partner having those conversations with the legislature and our other partners in terms of solving this elephant in the room. And we will be at risk until that large fire cost threat that we have so well illustrated in that slide. And I sure hope every legislator gets to see that slide soon. I think it's very telling. So that's kind of my big picture view of all of this. I'm sure we have lots of other pieces that need to be talked about here. It looks like Carla is ready. Thank you, Carla.
So, Sabrina, thank you. And Bill, thank you for your leadership in this area. I know, Bill, you're relatively new to the organization. And, just your capacity here is really essential for us. I think, and Nancy, again, thank you. I met with all of you yesterday, and I think we're headed the right direction. I have confidence that we are. These systems were built for a $10 million fire season, not a $70 million one. And as I said earlier, we've spent $435 million in the last 5 years. So, But a lot of our systems are clearly outdated. It's not just a 7X factor is the problem. Some of these systems don't exist. And so I think we want to really recognize we're not just rebuilding old systems. In some cases, we're building systems. And, you know, there's a difference there. Board oversight. Recommendation number 16 is really on the board, and I think with this new board, you certainly have the commitment of every board member here that we have a role, we have an obligation. So, Nancy, it's on us too, and I think every one of us accept that responsibility. And it's just got to be a new day in this whole arena, and I believe it is. I think, you know, where we ultimately want to get to is a good dashboard. And Bill, we're well on our way there in our board report. When I can see a really clean accounts payable, total obligations, total debt, I'm going to sleep a lot better at night because I have no idea what that number is today. And I'm pretty sure that no one else here does either. So I know we have a full court press on that, but getting that monthly dashboard is really, we need to get to that position pretty quickly. Not just outdated systems or lack of systems, but some of these systems are very decentralized. And so 12 phone calls to get a current accounts payable or not being able to get one at all. I hope our staff recognizes how vulnerable of position that puts, and certainly we've seen all the negative repercussions of being in this position. So I think we're all on the same, you know, all on the same page of rebuilding this. FEMA, if I said, here's the two really big hotspots, to the agency, one is that big accounts receivable that we have hanging out there with FEMA. And keeping those accounts receivables current so that we keep cash coming into this organization. And FEMA, I'm pretty convinced they are paying us on a 6-month basis after we invoice, not on a 2-4 year basis. So that is just of utmost priority. And then also, you know, really, the state lands picture here is a big picture too, because both those are the two biggest drivers in this agency's budget, and I think we just need a full understanding of what those projections look like from state lands, because between collecting FEMA and where state lands is, you know, is headed are pretty big drivers in what we're doing here. Thank you, all of you. It's a new day. We own our responsibility too, and that's up to us. So thank you for your leadership and what you're doing. And I have a lot of confidence we are going to hit this MGO deadlines. I'm very pleased. It looks like MGO will continue on as an auditor for us. That's essential. That's our accountability, all of us, that you know, we are getting these systems on track. And I can't thank you enough for your leadership.
Sandra.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Bill and Nancy and everyone else here. I completely agree with what Carla has said. Really appreciate your work on this issue and also accept the board's role here in wanting to be accountable and appreciate the MGO recommendations on that point as well. And as it relates to integrating this as an issue into our work plan, I fully support doing that. And I like the structure that you've put in. I mean, clearly, I have not reviewed all of this, and we'll look at that closer. But I am also interested in the dashboard concept and something that gives you a quicker top line view of what's going on, just more overview style with the financial condition of the department and understanding what particular metrics might be triggers that could operate as flags for us would also be helpful. Like, there are deliverables here, which I'm excited to know about the progress of those, but there are also things that should alert us that something's not going in the right direction beyond a timeline or, you know, with the actual condition of the financial condition of the agency. And so I would like to think a little bit or have your recommendations as to what those might be to give us a decent way to have a snapshot, recognizing that we don't all have the same background in this area, right? But are definitely trying to learn, I would say. So thank you for your work on this. And I certainly do support adding this in as one of our deliverables and would like to have further conversations on the dashboard concept.
I appreciate Chair Kelly, Chandra, members of the board. I appreciate those comments. I did want to clarify, yes, this implementation management plan definitely is a roadmap for the department. You know, it's, I don't think I expect the board to understand every single line item on a 64-page document that details, you know, weekly work that department staff will undertake. But certainly if there's recommendations that are very germane to your concerns, it's worthwhile of a deep dive. But yes, we do anticipate a dashboard view in your monthly financial administrative report that you receive the 23rd of every month. It will have a highlight of all 28 recommendations and various status measures. That's actually part of some of what we can discuss, what you ultimately want to see in that. But we do have some, what we will move forward with that, and we can always adjust as you need more information. But there's certainly another product that the board will get to allow you some transparency and accountability. I did want to highlight a couple of things that, speaking of the details of the implementation management plan, Sabrina did mention the MGO's management action plan and some specific steps that the department could take to mitigate the risk that they observe. Sometimes those don't line up with how the department can do business, but we fully want to address the risk they outlined. And I just wanted to point that out specifically, like recommendation 8, they propose that we utilize a technology that we no longer use. So while we're going to address the recommendation, the steps they actually put in place, we're going to elaborate a little further that fits within the technology structure that we are going to roll out. So there's the management action plan that MGO proposed was a guide to help the department move forward. For the most part, you'll see a matchup to what we portray, but I do want to highlight that clarification. And the last thing is Sabrina got into a little bit of the dates, but I want to just really highlight, you know, we're not squandering this work. MGO focus on large fire, but many of these recommendations, once implemented, benefit the entire agency. And we're taking that look. You'll often see some of the recommendations, the work in there is outlined well past the due date. And most of those, the reasoning is that we're going to address the observed issue by the due date, but we know we can get more business value in doing a little bit more work on that. So you might see due date is accomplished by June of 2022, but our work dries out even further into the year because we can see just with a little further elaboration of that effort, we can benefit the agency as a whole more so than just that isolated look at the scope of work that MGO put forth. So like I said, we're not squandering this opportunity. Thank you.
I wanted to go in a little different direction. The report, you know, makes a couple of fairly vague references to the challenges of culture within ODF. And I think some of that is probably pretty obvious to the board, where you have a history of a lot of independence in these independent offices and so on, where they have been able to adopt or not adopt certain software, et cetera, et cetera. That's obviously, a cultural challenge. I understand that, and I know you'll be dealing with that. But the other thing I was surprised by, and I know this is held dear in the culture of ODF, but it speaks volumes to me that amongst all of this, there is no mention of the militia model and discussion, which speaks volumes to me that it never came up. And of course, the board was not involved, although they were originally supposed to be interviewed by MGO and all, and that got cut short somehow. And maybe it would, but I don't know what you guys would want to say to that. And I know it's a complicated issue, but again, it does speak volumes around the culture that did not come up, because it clearly has significant impact operationally to the issues at hand in this.
Chair Kelly, members of the board, Nancy Hirsch. I'd just comment briefly and recognize that I expect that we'll continue to have a lot of conversation around this topic and the militia topic culture specifically. I would say at the tip of the spear for me around the militia concept, of which Jim had mentioned this to me in recent conversations, and I think it's fair to say that he recognizes the value of it, of the concept as well. But the concern I think I hear is, and valid, that when you fully implement and utilize all of the resources in hand across all divisions in the agency, all hands on deck to go and support these large fires during this decade of change, there's risks and there's financial risks associated with that relative to the level of oversight, attention to detail, responsibility and accountability that gets done back home during those times. So I think that was how I kind of took directly related to this report, that comment.
I think I'm going to guess too, there's a real fear in the agency that any change to that model would reduce the ability to fight fire, and which without new resources it would. So I think that any discussion, further discussion when we go around that, really has to take that on head on and have the support and understanding of our partners in the legislature and the governor's office if we get to the point where we are wanting to make any changes to that model. But enough said. Okay. Chandra?
I just had one more quick question. So all of the different strategies, there's the medium risk, low risk, high risk, all of those. Did you accept all of those recommendations? I understand that sometimes you wouldn't be able to implement them as completely envisioned by MGO, but everything is addressed in your implementation plan, or is there anything that isn't any of those recommendations that you either didn't accept or don't plan to address in the near term?
Nancy Hirsch again, Chair Kelly, members of the board, Chandra. I'm kind of taking that question because I would characterize that as the ODF management response. And I may not have all the nomenclature or sequencing data of actually what went where and what report, but there was a management response that up to this week left some ambiguity around how we would respond. And so I will offer to you and affirm for me, Sabrina, this week, after reflecting on this and based on the conversations that I've had with all of you, as well as beyond here with the governor's office, it was very clear to me that we needed to be very specific about how we would respond. And that's specific to recommendation number 20. And it has to do with finance, accounting, and organizational structure. So I would offer that you take a look at what is called, I believe it's called the new ODF or ODF. Oh, yes. ODF Revised Management Response, June 20. And I hope that provides you the confidence and assurance that it's very clear that we will be implementing every recommendation. So I'm not sure if you needed more than that. I'm sure Bill can fill in a lot more, but wanted you to know that.
I would just also want to comment, you know, as you are dealing with a whole bunch of recommendations and a huge amount of detail, and the MGO people are smart people, but in this process, as you're going through these different recommendations and you realize that one or more of them are really not going to serve the agency or unworkable, that's okay. You come and talk to us about that. We're okay. Nothing here is set in stone. We've got to make sure we're being smart through this whole process. Ben, you had a question?
This is a perfect segue because my question was about number 20. And I guess before I go there, I just wanted to echo my thanks and support. This is phenomenal. This dashboard, or this big long list, while I haven't made it through all of it, I'm inspired by it. It shows that there is a very clear and detailed map of where we're going, and that is great. As I looked at the 28 different recommendations or different issues, they seem primarily focused on systems and processes. And I think number 20 sort of gets at sort of a larger question of organization and structure. And some of the other ones deal with that a little bit. And from my limited perspectives, as I have continued to learn about the agency, I really feel like there's the organization of the whole department, I think, may have been part of the problem of how this arose, and finding ways to sort of look at that holistically as a part of this. And, you know, I appreciate I just read the revised response for June. This is a big thing. It's not something that can be knocked out really quickly. You're not going to reorganize positions by January 1st of 2022. But I think even though it's a big issue and unrelated in some ways to the bulk of what MGO is talking about, I think it's worth pursuing and thinking about from a 10,000 foot level of how does the structure of the agency relate to these more specific issues. And I just wanted to highlight that and appreciate that it's being thought about and being addressed. And that takes time, and that needs to be done in a holistic manner with buy-in from staff. But I think it's important to keep track of.
Brenda, you had a comment.
Yeah, Brenda McComb for the record. First of all, Sabrina, Bill, Nancy, thanks for this. The first few pages provided the overview that I think I was been searching for the last few years. So I really appreciate that, the clarity that you reflected there. 2 points. One to Chandra's question about, you know, going forward and reporting out. I find myself in a bit of a dilemma, and that is, I really appreciate the 30,000 foot level, but it's not always clear from that level where the red flags are and where the issues are that are arising. That if you just look below the surface a little bit, you'd be able to understand what was going on. So the dashboard idea is exactly what we need, but that's forthcoming. So I think reporting out, we're going to have to rely on you all to identify those areas where we really need that more detailed understanding so that we can work with you effectively going forward. Whether it's meeting deadlines or whether it is some other problem that's arising. The other question I had, though, deals with priorities. You've got a lot of deliverables, huge number of deliverables. And I'm assuming that the deliverable dates reflect capacity and priorities. Is that fair, Bill?
Chair Kelly, Acting State Forester Hirsch, members of the board. That's a pretty fair assumption, although there does need to be kind of a progressive elaboration on those dates for that exact reason. Certainly, we're going to have external factors with fire season play into that. You will notice that a majority of the positions listed as responsible for doing the work or observing whether work's been completed are the same subset of people over and over. So capacity is certainly a huge issue that we got to work through. We don't really tell a good story with the plan on how much of this work overlaps with each other. So progress on one recommendation is likely going to affect progress on two or three others. You can see that in some of them where deliverables overlap. And so that's not really accounted for. So that's going to be at our benefit, but certainly capacity is factored in to those dates for the most part. But that you will see when we talk about the elaboration of this plan in version one and moving into version two, a lot of that will be on the dates. But I do want to highlight that the due date of when we're going to do the work, the timeline that Sabrina showed on when those the recommendations due are what we're shooting for. Deliverables might shift.
And if I could follow up, Jim. Yeah. And then priorities. So MGO established their own priorities of high, medium, and low. Are you following those directly, or do you have your own priorities in terms of how you're setting out the work that you do to get the most important work that you know needs to be done first?
That's a great question. And that's one we're factoring it as well. The risk, for the most part, I said there was a lot into the risk, but for the most part, they align with what we see as priorities. So timeline and the risk rating out the gate will set our priority stake. But within that body of work of those recommendations, that subset that falls into, you know, if we're going to focus on the next four that are due and what's the risk priority for them, we'll look at the work involved and then kind of determine where, due to capacity or risk, where it makes best sense to put effort. So the prioritization is really going to be moved along as we get into the kind of the standard rolling wave of figuring out what this the details are for the next step.
Thank you, Bill. I think it would be, and I'm sure you'll do this, all of you, keeping the board abreast with any of the, as you rethink priorities going forward, you know, what's the rationale behind that?
That's a great point. I envision the dashboard to highlight the approach during that cycle in the priority ranking, and likely so the next one would be changed up and we can have that discussion for sure. I do want to point out we are fully on board to implement all of these. There are a few caveats with some of the recommendations that require external input, usually legislative intent. And those are ones outside of our control. But usually there's a body of work that we have to do to get to that point. So we're going to fully implement that. And then beyond that, that's certainly something we'll engage with the board is going to be a big part of that through our biennial budget process for those ones that need that kind of input.
Chair Kelly, members of the board, Nancy Hirsch here, nudging Jim here that I had to add two comments to this. One, capacity will be required in order for this ship to stay afloat. Secondly, in the near term, within the budget that we have prior to the end of June, as well as after June, we'll be working very closely with the governor's office, the legislative fiscal office. What my priority in the very immediate term is to add some temporary, what I call surge capacity. It's not moving one person from somewhere else in the agency. It's bringing somebody external to the agency in to help us surge and get at the bottom and put out some of these very critical request deadlines that are necessary. And I think one of those, it's consistent thread for all of you and certainly for the agency, is this dashboard. You know, I think it's twofold. There's the dashboard about what's going on with our finances, period, right, for the agency. And then there's what's the dashboard of reporting to track. I'm your number one dashboard. If something is going awry, you're going to hear from me, either a phone call or an email or a text. We don't have the technology today that's going to give you a yellow light on any one thing, but I will definitely give you a yellow light or even a gentle green light that it's green, but I might be going to yellow. So hopefully I provide you that assurance. That was it. Thanks.
Hey, Forrester Hirsch, would you mind reading to us the staff recommendation on this item?
Sure. I will do that. I think we can get it up there on the screen, too, and make sure I get it correct. One last all-encompassing statement here. I would characterize, in my view, certainly just observations, but to date, perhaps this MGO report, audit, or response may have felt to me a little bit more like it was a agency administration fire division focus. And my engagement today, instead of just relying on Bill and Sabrina, is that I really have come to a quick conclusion that it is the agency's problem, and we have to do this together in terms of how we respond. So thanks. And the recommendation here is slightly modified. I needed some plain language, but if we need to go back to the language that was in the staff report, that's fine. But staff, we recommend that the board adopt the modified board administrative work plan. And secondly, that the board accept and support the implementation plan version one. Great. There's sub bullets there, just giving you a little more detail on what technically, mechanically does it mean.
All right, thank you. Hillary, do we have any public, anyone signed up for public comment on this issue?
Chair Kelly, no, we do not have anyone signed up.
Okay. We can have some further discussion, and then I will ask for a motion, but I'll explain exactly what that is. Go ahead first.
Thanks, Jim. Brenda McComb for the record. So adopting the modified board administrative work plan, that's this, right? Yep. So I guess what I'm not seeing here is sort of an adaptive management approach to this. So we get our reports regularly, which is great. But if there are issues in those reports, that means that we need to go back and rethink what we're implementing. That's the part I'm not seeing. Is that, but is it implicit in this?
Chair Kelly, members of the board, absolutely. Probably the piece in here where I see it is one of the things I think Jim said, that it's going to be an iterative process, but we also note here that around the implementation plan, this is version one. And so as we learn and adapt, then we can make this as real time as you want available to track, and or if anything significant, as we've discussed earlier here, we would come back to the board and make you fully aware and have some discussion around it.
Yes.
I think what this is saying is we are adopting and accepting the minimum recommendations of the MGL report. If we move forward and continue to improve beyond those recommendations, those add-ons you will keep the board apprised on.
Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Hirsch, certainly that's something we fully intend to do. You know, the MGO, regardless if we check off all the MGO boxes and we're still continuing this effort, we still will engage with the board. The first recommendation of adopting the modified board administrative work plan, that actually puts this effort in front of the board. And so what we've proposed as far as the potential or the outline modification as it stands is to, you'll see a dashboard every month through the mechanism I described of the monthly administrative finance report. But we propose every other board meeting to actually come in front of you so we can have similar discussions as work evolves and talk about some of the risks that you may or may not be seeing in the dashboard view, and further elaboration on the versioning of the implementation management plan.
Hey, sounds like you're not going away and we're not going away.
Not anytime.
Okay, what we're being asked to approve here is the integration of MGO's recommendations as a new issue within the board's 2020 and 2022 administrative work plan in attachment two, with milestones to include regular status updates and iterative approval of the department's MGO implementation plan. Also, to approve the Department of Forestry's MGO implementation plan, version one, attachment three. And if there's further discussion or if someone is ready to make a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion to approve as stated.
Great. And is there a second?
A second.
Okay, with that, we will We will do a roll call. Make sure you're unmuted. Carla Chambers.
Aye.
Ben Doomling.
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari.
Aye.
Brenda McComb.
Aye.
And myself, Jim Kelly, is an aye. And with that, the board has reached consensus and the motion carries. Okay. We are right on time. This is amazing. Yes.
I just so thanks, and I'm glad everything passed unanimously. But I just want to clarify, I think what Carla described as changes going forward is different from what I was thinking about. And I think it is captured in the word iterative in what you said, Jim. But I just want to be clear that the staff and the board regularly meet to discuss whether or not there needs to be changes to the implementation plan going forward.
That Chair Kelly, members of the board, understood, Brenda. I do believe that your request is captured in the motion that just passed, and the proposed work plan or the approved work plan of seeing this in front of the board will provide that, as well as certainly the off-band communications of what you're seeing monthly in the report and during the pre-board process. So there's a lot of avenues for those further discussions.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, well, I for one am hungry. So before we break for lunch, I just wanted to thank public, staff, and agency partners for participating this morning. Great discussion. Let's be ready to be back at 12:55. Thank you all. Thank you, everybody.